The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around, and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is God's word for you. The epistle is the letter to the Revelation 21, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, and then 23 through 25. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage. I know I will be his God, and he will be my son. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. This is God's word for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Today is found in Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the good news of Jesus Christ for you.
We praise you, Jesus.
Grace, rest, and peace to you, from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, it's that awkward time of the season. Those of us who celebrate things like Epiphany and keep our lights and trees up until Saturday, and the folks have already taken everything down, right? New Year's is coming. So, in fact, you know, the first sign that the season is over is because the Christmas music disappears from the radio, right?
And this year, I think we made it to the 27th. Maybe, and that was it. Enough for you. Now, we went to the store yesterday. What they have? St. Patrick's Day stuff. Yeah. They had Valentine's too, but they had St. Patrick's and Valentine's, right? So the lights are starting to come down. It's starting to dim a bit. I think the Atlanta has the Botanical Garden. Their light show goes through this coming weekend, I think. So that's nice to see at least. But it is a season of lights for a lot of reasons. When we know that there's all sorts of traditions that have led into our Christmas celebrations, but light has always been part of it for centuries. It's about this theme of light, right? That the light is coming into the world, and light is a theme throughout. Really, it's interesting because it starts at the beginning of the Bible and goes to the very end of the Bible, doesn't it? The very beginning of Genesis, what does it say in the beginning? There was nothing, right? The earth was lifeless and formless. And then God said, let there be
light.
Boom. The first thing he does, let there be light. And some people say, well, so you could see what he was doing with the rest of it, right? But, you know, we don't always pay attention to in that whole section of Genesis is that after he says, let there be light, a few days later, he says, I'm going to create a sun and a moon. But wait, how was there light before there was a sun? That's confusing to us, right? But there was light just everywhere, just light all around. And then he creates people. And people sin. And sin brings darkness into the world, right? And now light is needed more than ever. And there are numerous prophecies in the Old Testament about the light coming back into the world. And finally, around the time of Jesus, we see what he's talking about, right? In fact, Zechariah is a great portion. We read a portion of this a few weeks ago when John the Baptist was born. So Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "And you, child," speaking of John the Baptist, "will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord, prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high and give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Darkness and the shadow of death, right? What is darker than being in a tomb underground, right? That is the ultimate darkness. And what was this light going to do? Bring us out of that, right? It's going to change the course of history for us. Change our lives, even if we die, right? Jesus said that even if you die, you will live. Pretty amazing what this light can do for us. And of course, light is part of the whole story of the birth of Jesus, right? The light that is coming into the world now. And the light guide is the shepherds. And the light guided the Magi, who came from the west, right, to the east. I'm sorry, from the east to the west. They saw the star in the west while they were in the east and traveled west to find out where it was going to be. And, of course, all the artwork only shows where they show up at the stable at the manger, even though the Bible says they came to the house he was at. So we keep that in mind. We don't know what the time difference was. We knew they didn't show up right when the shepherds came. It probably was a few months later on. But they did arrive, guided by light, right? But there was this light that was drawing. And it wasn't just symbolic, it was an actual light, right? The light of the star, or perhaps a constellation of stars that were lined up in just the right way, that offered a brighter light than we would normally see. And the beginning of John describes it this way, the Gospel of John: "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." Which, again, sounds kind of figurative, right? You know, it's like Jesus shows up. He's the light of the world. You know, kind of like how we would say about certain people: "You're the light of my life," right? Or how when somebody passes away, "Oh, they were the light of our lives, and light, they lit up the room," right? People won't actually do that most of the time, right? Unless they've got like a miner's helmet on or something, right?
light up the room. And wasn't that one of Kim's favorite songs growing up was what?
With the light.
You're not going to sing it for us?
No.
Sometimes she sings it to me. We made her sing it to the middle school probably.
You no.
Light up my life. Oh, yeah, you light up my life. Remember that? Yeah. Some people still bring, it still brings like shivers to you when you think of that song. Other people, well, I liked it. Other people, I don't know. But light is an important theme. You know, that light does so much for us. And one great example is like if you were somewhere in total darkness, like you're in a cave, right? I don't know if you've ever been caving. I know you guys in the Scouts. You ever go caving? No, not. We put that in, when we were in the seminary in Missouri. There's a lot of caves there, and the troop would go caving once a year. And it's quite an experience if you've never done it. And you go pretty deep underground, and then you turn all your lights off, and wow. And then if there's one light at the end of the cave, what happens? It gets your attention. That's where you want to be, right? You want to be in the light, right? Growing up around New York City, it's like if we park somewhere at night, where do we park? By the streetlight. Always look for the streetlight. Especially if we're staying in a motel in a place I don't know. I park under the light. You know why? Because the light's a safe place, right? The light, you know what's going on when you're in the light. When you're in the dark, you're not sure what's going on, right? Or what you might stub your toe on, right? Light's so important to us. And we recognize that, you know, maybe subconsciously. We don't always realize how important this idea of light, but now you say the true light, which gives light to everyone who's coming into the world. Well, of course, on the one hand, what did Jesus do? We talked about this with the kids. He enlightened everyone, right? Gave us all epiphanies, helped us to truly see what God was about, right? Who he was. But beyond that, we also know about the darkness that he goes through, right? Probably the worst darkness known was what? When the light of the world was snuffed out. And you know, it's always kind of funny talking about Good Friday and Easter around Christmas, because Christmas gets us all happy and excited and we feel good about stuff, and then we talk about Good Friday, you know. And it's no secret that at least the churches I've been involved with, the Good Friday worship attendance is maybe a third of the Christmas Eve worship attendance, right? Why is that? I don't know all the answers, but it is dark, right? And it is sad. But that darkness isn't solely because of Jesus. It's because of our sin, right? It reminds us of the darkness we live in. And the Gospel of John told us this, that we liked darkness, right? We preferred the darkness to the light, which makes no sense at all. But that's what he said, because the darkness that preferred was our own sinfulness, our serving ourselves, our wanting what we want, no matter how it affects our relationship with God or each other. We want what we want. And that, to God, is darkness, right? That is the opposite of being enlightened, right? That is voluntarily putting ourselves in the dark. And sometimes insisting that it is light. There was a period in history called the Enlightenment, right? Which did what? Did it bring people closer to God? No, it was glorifying human ideas, wasn't it? Right? Look how smart we are. Look at what we can do without God. That's what it was about. And it's really continued in many ways, even though we don't even remember what it was about half the time or see how it relates to today. But we are children of that. We are so impressed with ourselves. Yet we hate what the end result is, don't we? We hate getting old. We hate getting sick. We hate dying. We hate the broken relationships. We hate the sadness that sometimes we bring upon ourselves. But we'll argue that we're enlightened, right? That's the thing about light, too, is that you don't always recognize light or its significance until you're in the darkness, right? Kind of like one of the reasons I like the seasons is you don't appreciate summer unless you get winter, right? And there's a lot of connection with that too, right? That the winter solstice, the Yule, is a reminder of not that, oh, we got to the shortest day of the year and now it's dark. Is that, well, if this is the shortest day of the year and it's mainly dark, that means it's only going to start getting lighter, right? right? It's a celebration of the return of the light. And we don't recognize how much we need light until we're in darkness, right? I used to stock up, and I don't know what to do with them all. If you need a flashlight, let me know. I have these boxes of these three AAA battery flashlights because they seem to disappear. But when you had a hurricane, you needed flashlights, right? And so I kept a bunch of them. I had a stock, and I still have different sizes, but mainly this one box I don't know what I'm going to quite do with anymore. But a lot of people wouldn't prepare themselves, would they? You folks who still used to live in Florida, you'd still do. You folks, you know what I'm talking about. They come, hurricanes come, better prepare. Yeah, whatever, right? And then they come, and what's going on? Oh, we're in the dark. Hey, who's got a flashlight? Hey, who's got some batteries, right? Because you wouldn't prepare for it. Now you realize how important it is. Oh, I should have prepared. Propane lamp, we have that too, right? We have all kinds of stuff. Perhaps God lets us live in our own darkness for a while, doesn't he? Maybe that's why it's been a while since Jesus went to heaven. Let us see what this darkness is about. Finally, have our own epiphany, our own revelation that darkness isn't so good. That light is where we need to be. That we want something new. We don't want the same old stuff. And so, we read in Revelation, which is kind of a weird reading to bring up today, because we went through a lot of Revelation back before Advent. But it brings up the exact same themes at the almost exact end of the Bible, right? Chapter 21, which is almost the last chapter. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Well, this is fantastic, because, you know, this has been a whole theme after Adam and Eve, right? Starting, really, well, God calls the family of Abraham, but then he gets to Moses, and what happens? Now his presence is with people, but separated, right? He's with them, but at a distance. He speaks to Moses from the burning bush. There's that light, right? An epiphany to Moses. Well, the God of our ancestors is still with us. And then he leads the people out of Egypt, out of slavery. How at night it's a pillar of fire, right? It's a light ahead of them. And eventually they build the tabernacle at his instruction. And then later on a more formal temple in Jerusalem. And God's presence is with them. Wherever that Ark of the Covenant is, he's with them. But behind a curtain, right? In the temple in Jerusalem, it was the Holy of Holies behind the curtain where people couldn't see him. He's with us. His presence is here, but he's kind of still distanced. And people were still distancing themselves through their sinfulness, which is why they had to offer sacrifices all the time. But there were constant prophecies saying, God himself is going to come and be with us. And on Christmas, we celebrate that arrival, right? That Jesus, who is called Emmanuel, and Jesus is God with us. God's presence is with his people. And not hidden behind a curtain, but right there with us, right? That people could see him and touch him, but they were still a little confused as to how our eyes would be God with us. This epiphany that the Magi have to go and see this child, they're not sure quite what it means yet. But they know something is going on here. Yet our lives still hadn't entirely transformed, had they? Our lives were still a mess. Yet Jesus was the light coming into the world that was showing us that we were in darkness, first of all, and showing us a way out of darkness. But then he experiences the ultimate darkness as we saw on the day he dies for us. But now the revelation is at the end of time, we don't go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem comes to us, and with it comes the Lamb, Jesus. And now the day has arrived where he is permanently with us. He lives among us. We can see him. There's no distance anymore. And all of the effects of sin, death and mourning and crying and pain, are all history. All gone. And he who seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." That's good news for us, isn't it? We have things that need to be refurbished all the time. I remember a story. It's kind of funny now. It's kind of weird and sad at the time. But my grandmother, when she was in her late 90s, she was starting to slip in various ways, was still pretty with it, but she was pretty certain someone was breaking into the house. And wonderful the way she showed it. She says, look, remember, I used to have a nice new watch. Now look at this, is an old one. They stole my nice new watch, gave me this old one. And you know what the answer is right away, right? And like, oh no, I don't think that was, well, that's, let me see, that's the same watch you always had. It's just old. It needs to be renewed, right? Even if you cleaned it up, it's still not quite the same as when it was new. Nothing in our life is like that, right? We're young, we go out and buy that first new car, we're all excited, look how great this new car is. And then a decade later, what is it? It's the junker you give to your kid. Yeah, it's a great car, you like it. Yeah. Our good car was in, what is it, the 80, no, 70, I don't know, 73 Pinto station wagon. Yeah, that was our good car. By the time I got to drive it, it was 1981, I think. It was several years old and not real fancy anymore. And parts literally fell off when I drove it. Hit a railroad track going to work one day and the tailpipe fell off. And my dad chastised me. How come you didn't pull over and pick it up? Because it's a highway, Dad. Driving back from the beach a few months later, tired exhaust pipe falls off. And so I had a pain. Because it's my fault it fell apart, you know. Not that it's an old car, it's my fault. So I had to get a new muffler and a new exhaust pipe. And the guy at Midas said, "Well, I have good news for you. We got to replace everything except for this tailpipe." I go, "Yeah, because I replaced that months ago." Fell off. And you can't renew it very well, can you? You could put money into a car or something and try to fix it up, but it is not like it is. I get nervous when I see like electronics on Amazon or eBay that says renewed. What exactly did you do to make it new again? It's not really new, it's just you cleaned it up a bit. Maybe cleaned the drive off and put new software on it. I think what we grasp for is things never changing, right? Isn't that kind of way? We want things never to get old, never to look as new as the day that we bought it, right? It should just stay that way. But God isn't a preservationist, right? He says, "I'm giving you something new. I'm taking all this stuff that you have and I'm making it new. And Sally, replacing it, but making it new. Even our bodies, right? New bodies, new everything, new heavens, new earth." And how is he doing it? By his presence with us, right? This has been kind of the secret since day one. With Adam and Eve, God was always present, right? Always there, till they sinned, which was their way of saying, "Yeah, we don't really need it. It's okay. We got this." How many of you think we got this? Yeah, right? That's why we're here today. That's why we gather. We admit to ourselves, we don't got it. We're not that enlightened. We really are pretty bad at maintaining our own mind, making this world a good place. We feel helpless when we see these wars going on in Ukraine and Israel and all the stuff going on the earth. And we know somewhere in the back of our minds that it's all because of sin, right? All of it because of unrighteousness between us. And people are just looking out for themselves. You know, saying, I got this. It's all good. Because we put our faith in other people instead of God, right? If we just elect this guy, it'll all get better. And I've been hearing that my whole life. It hasn't happened yet. Pretty sure it'll never happen. I'm convinced the fact that it's not that good. The only Messiah, which is Christ in Greek, is Jesus. His mere presence changes everything. His mere presence, when he returns to us, is going to begin to change everything and make it all new in a way that we always wanted, and in a way that won't get old. My grandma won't be going, hey, this watch looks a little old. Yeah, it won't look that way anymore. And look at the last part. This is pretty really tied together. This is amazing. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. The light that was coming into the world, not only was the light of men, but is the physical light of the planet. Just in the beginning, when God said, let there be light. And there was light even though there was no sun yet. Now there is the sun, his son, the Lamb, Jesus. And there's always light. We will always be enlightened. All the truths we don't get now, we will have then. We will be drawn to that light just as the Magi were drawn to Bethlehem, right? Because we know that's the safe place to be. That's the place that we've always wanted to be. The only place there really is to be. It is really the promise of Christmas fulfilled, isn't it? Christmas and Easter and Epiphany, we start to see the light. Easter, the light gets stronger. But then when he returns, in his presence, and it will change everything. And so it's in his precious name that we all sing.
Amen.
Let's all rise as we offer our prayers to our Lord. Let's pray together for our family, friends, neighbors, fellow Christians, and all who need God's help, healing, and guidance today. Almighty God, your plan to save us from sin and death was hidden in mystery through the ages, yet revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ. As the Magi were brought into the light of his presence by the leading of a star, so guide us now into the light of your presence by your word, that we may know your Son as Savior and Lord, and be equipped to make him known to those still captive to the darkness of unbelief. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for your missionaries everywhere, including Cindy Gerbil Ruki, Chelsea Irwin, and Herman and Sheila in the Czech Republic, Jay and Julie Das in Pakistan, Howard Thomas in Soon Church, Pelican Lutheran Church, and John and Amy Sima in Cambodia, that they may be given courage to present the gospel in all places. We pray that you would guide St. Paul Lutheran Church as they seek to call a new pastor to their congregation. We pray that you would sustain and enlighten all of our seminary students, including Christopher Shearman. We pray for those imprisoned and persecuted for their faith in you, especially John Cao and all of our fellow Christians in China, that you might protect and encourage them. And we pray for the people of Afghanistan and all of their Taliban leadership, that your spirit may transform their hearts so that they may accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations throughout the world, especially Israel, Palestine, Pakistan, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, North Korea, Ethiopia, Yemen, Democratic Republic of Congo, Venezuela, China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Haiti, Myanmar, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Venezuela, Russia, and Ukraine, that they would all come to live in peace. Guide all leaders, including our own, to acknowledge you as Lord of all, so so that they may rule with justice as your servants. We pray for those who are serving in the military, especially Ethan, Noah, Elizabeth, Matthew, Andrew, Austin, Christopher, Blake, and Christopher, and Brian, that you would protect them from all harm and make them always aware of your presence. We ask that you would bless the work of Rainbow Children's Home in Dahlonega and the teens that they serve, that their lives would be transformed and they may live in safety. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, undergoing treatment, recovering, or nearing death, especially Susan, Pastor Carlton, Wally, Penny, Jennifer, Nani, Debbie, Chanson, Ann, David, Cassie, Pastor Stunkel, Catherine, Marjorie, Ashley, Bert, Shirley, Brian, Lisa, Richard, Barbara, Nick, Georgiana, Renata, Cricket, Jimmy, Maggie, Blanche, and Tom. Heal them, comfort them in their suffering, and give them courage in their afflictions. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all whose challenges, worries, and needs are known by you, especially Vincent, Kim, Doreen, Madison, Jose and Jennifer, James and Katie, Jason and Teresa, Scott, the Smith family, and Travis, that you would give them peace and relief. We pray for those who are grieving the death of someone they love, especially the family and friends of Joey Cullender, Millicent Wallace, and Ryan. Grant that their sorrow be soothed with the hope of an eternal life with Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you a heartfelt thanks for every blessing received from you this past year and your mercy, which we've done little to deserve. Be with all those who are traveling this week that they will return home safely. We ask that you would continue to bless David and Ann and Dwayne and Ruth and all couples who will be celebrating their wedding anniversaries this week. And give us all hope in the new year and a joyous outlook on life, knowing that you are always with us and have our future in your loving hands. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy alone, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.